So Corey and I are in a message series right now called God Is, and the title of today's message is God Describing God. Now, if a 10-year-old were to hit you with the what's God like question, how would you answer? What descriptive words would need to be in your working definition of God? Because you see, to love God, you have to know something about Him. Love for God is based on our knowledge of God. And even though we're made in God's image, God's not like us. And so I'm not going to know really who God is, what God's like, just by navel gazing. God needs to reveal Himself to me and tell me what He's like. And the good news is we can learn, because God has indeed revealed Himself. And when we go to the source, and the source is the Bible, which is a story about God and how we can relate to God. Okay? Now, I'm going to be in a passage of Scripture today that I call the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. Everybody's been to a sporting event, or you've seen it on TV, where someone is in the audience and they hold up a sign that says John 3:16. It's terrific. Well, the passage we're going to be in today is the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. And one of the things this passage will teach you is that God did not get converted in the New Testament. God has always been incredibly loving and gracious, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You say, well, Ronnie, what's the passage? Here it is. Yeah. Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 7. I think it's the most important text in the Old Testament. It's God describing Himself, God defining Himself. If you want to do it by the numbers, 1 through 7, 1 is the most important passage in the Old Testament. 2, it's in the second book of the Bible, Exodus. 3, 4, chapter 34. 5, 6, and 7, verses 5, 6, and 7. Okay, let me read the text. This is God's business card coming to you. You ready? Here it is. The Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with Him. That's with Moses. And God calls out His own name, Yahweh. We were singing it earlier. Yahweh. God has a name. Yahweh. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord. He says it twice. Many times in the Bible, the word Yahweh is translated as Lord. And in your Bibles, in your English Bibles, if you see the word Lord in all capitals, it's Yahweh. Now, they didn't have bold font or underline. And so often for emphasis, certain names would be repeated a couple of times. You'll see this throughout the Bible. For example, Saul, Saul. You remember that from Acts chapter 9. Or Absalom, Absalom. Or one of my personal favorite passages, Martha, Martha. Why are you anxious and troubled over many things? I used to quote that passage a lot. We've been married 43 years, but I've not quoted it in about 42 and a half years. Just sort of learned early on not to go there, okay? Yahweh, Yahweh. Moses had come to the Lord and said, God, I need to see Your glory. I want to see You. I want to know more about You. And God said, Moses, you can't see Me and live. In fact, when I meet you on Mount Sinai, no one needs to be close, not even an animal. They can't handle it. But Moses, here's what I'll do. I'll pass by. I'll protect you from the full measure of My glory, but I'll pass by and I'll let you just see the afterglow. That's all you can handle, just the afterglow. But I'm going to do more, Moses. I'm going to give you My name, because when you know a person's name, you know something about them. and I'm going to share with you my heart. I'm going to give you my business card so that when that 10-year-old asks you, what's God like, you're going to know. And this passage of Scripture, it's not just found here. It's repeated throughout the Bible multiple times. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. That name found over 6,000 times in the Bible. And notice, now God describes himself. You ready? I'm the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. And I forgive, listen to this, I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. But I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations. God's saying, I am incredibly gracious and merciful. But there are people out there who want nothing to do with me. They are evil. They're not interested in me. In fact, they oppose me. They rebel. They rebel against you. They head headlong into evil, and they bring harm to families and communities. And God says, I'm not going to put up with that. I will forgive sin, but I will not ignore unrepentant, hard-hearted, evil behavior. All right, I got three quick points. Here's the first one. Yahweh God is better than you can imagine. He is absolutely better than you can imagine. So, as God describes himself, I want to walk through some of his self-descriptive terms here. Okay? So, God gives his business card, and here's what he says. He says, I'm the God of compassion and mercy. Now, listen. The order of these words is significant and important. Because in Hebrew writing, what you say first is most important. This is what you need to remember. And how does God define himself? I am a God of compassion and mercy. Compassion is a feeling word. I care about you. I'm not just a textbook, says the Lord. I'm not just an idea. I'm a person. I feel, I think, I care. And mercy, compassion, a feeling word, mercy, an action word, and I will act on your behalf. The idea here is of a good parent. The idea here is of the way a mother feels with a child in her womb. And God says, whenever you think about a good parent, and many of you here grew up under good parents, or you're doing so now. Some of you, perhaps you didn't. But you're trying to bring a new baton into your family, and I commend you for that. But God says, whenever you think about how a good parent loves their child, how they care for their child, how they watch over their child, how they look after their child, how they protect and nurture their child, I want you to think about me. What's God like? I am a God of compassion and mercy. The one who could be no stronger says to someone who could be no weaker, I care. And I can do something about this. So before I move on, I want to be very, very clear. God's baseline, default, feeling, emotion, attitude, stance toward you is that of compassion and mercy. And he says, and I'm slow to anger. The word is literally long-nosed. God has a long nose. In Hebrew writings, they would use the anatomy to illustrate emotions. And when people would think of anger, for example, they thought, you know, it started in your nose. Because somebody gets angry and they start to turn up their nose. They might snort a little bit. God has a long nose. He can get angry, but he's very, very patient. Very patient. And he says, I'm filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Literally, it's the word hesed, H-E-S-E-D. And translations of the Bible struggle to appropriately relate this word. It's such a powerful word. Some translations will simply say steadfast love or loyal love, and that's true, but you got to put it in bold and in all capitals. God's love is a determined, listen, unfailing love and faithfulness, a determined goodwill towards another that will not quit. You run a mile, God's love is there. You run 5 miles, God's love is there. You run a marathon, God's love is there. You run 1,000,000 miles, God's love is there. It is a determined love that will not let go. It is consistent, ever faithful, relentless, constantly pursuing. It is lavish. It is too much. It is extravagant, unrestrained. It is a furious love for you, so much so that Jesus says, this great God who speaks worlds into existence, you can call him Abba. You can call him Father. That's his love for you. Hesed, I am loyal. You can count on me. You can depend on me. My promises are sure. It's that Romans 8 kind of love. You can't go too high for it. You can't go too low for it. You can't go too far from it. This is God's calling card to you. Do you have an idea how great our God is? Do you know Yahweh God, full of compassion and mercy and unfailing love? I read a story about a family and the teenage daughter started making some goofy decisions, got into trouble unnecessarily, goes out one night, gets arrested. Her mom has to go down to the police station to get her. When mom goes down there, she brings a gift, a little box, gift wrap. And before they head home, she says, here, I want you to open this before we leave. So she opens the box, and there's a rock inside. And the teenage girl said, very cute, Mom. Mom said, read the card. She reads that card and it says, this rock is more than 2,000 years old. And that's how long it will take before I ever give up on you and stop loving you. That's a little picture of hesed love. Who am I, says the Lord, and I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. In other words, Moses, I love you and I love your family, but it's not just you four no more, okay? I have a love that's boundless for all nations and all people to 1,000 generations. And not only that, I'm the kind of God where I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. Let that sink in. Sin of all shapes and sizes and intensities, not just iniquity, beyond iniquity, to sin and rebellion. You can't find a category beyond those, okay? And God says, you want to know who I am? Here's my default posture towards you. I'm compassionate and merciful. I am faithful. I have a really long nose. I am forbearing. And I will actually forgive. Literally, the word means to lift off. You go through life, you make some boneheaded decisions, and sometimes they accumulate. Not a one of us in this room gets through life without a lot of regrets. Anybody here in the room ever done anything they regret? besides me. Yeah. You know, Jesus said, come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. And I'm going to take that burden off of you. That's what it means to forgive. He says right here, and I forgive. I take the burden and I lift it off. That backpack you're carrying around, let me forgive. In the New Testament, sometimes the word forgive means to send away. It's used when Jesus would dismiss a crowd. It's like, you need to go. That's our God right there. That's who he is. But he says, but I do not excuse the guilty. I will forgive sin. I will forgive rebellion. But I will not ignore evil. I will not ignore unrepentant sin. And you need to be thankful for that kind of justice. You need to be thankful and praise God for that kind of protection. Because you do know that your world, your life is not a merry-go-round. You are on a journey to eternity. And as believers in Christ, because of the blood of Christ, we're going to heaven. We're going to heaven. And you know what's not going to be in heaven? There's a big no trespassing sign. And the Bible says nothing evil will be here. Nothing impure will be there. All the former things passed away. There will be no night there, no tears there. Why? Because nothing evil will be there. You say, well, Ronnie, I've committed sin, iniquity, rebellion. Yeah, that's right. And God forgives it. He does not ignore unrepentant evil. And that's a good thing. But he'll forgive it. The Bible says he will oppose the proud, but he will give grace to the humble. So if you're going to summarize this, I mean, the best summary is probably the Apostle John in the New Testament says, you want to know about God? God is love. And this is God describing himself in the Old Testament. A lot of people, again, think God got converted in the New Testament. No. He's always been and he is. You know what his business card says? I'm compassionate and merciful and faithful and forbearing, and I am forgiving, and I am protective of my people. All right, very quickly. Who Yahweh God is has massive implications for us. And here are those implications. The living God invites us to represent him, to imitate him, to mimic him, and to represent him. So may I just ask you, how are you doing at mimicking, replicating to some degree these godlike qualities? Because, you know, we're called to be godly people. I'll never bat 1,000, but we're called to grow and mature in godliness. May I just mention a couple? How about faithfulness? How you doing there? The idea of faithfulness in an NIL world is sort of alien and strange. Everybody's a quick free agent. That's why the average stay in a marriage these days is about 8 years. But here's the problem, my friends. The best things in life come about through faithfulness and a willingness to stick with commitments, even through emotional highs and lows. Someone has said that faithfulness is a long obedience in the same direction in an age of instant gratification. Hey, listen. I like on-demand TV. That's terrific. I like, I'm not much of a shopper, but if I going to shop. Amazon's the way to go. I've actually received things before I actually ordered them before. And isn't it great that you can just so quick, it's here, it's amazing. I love that. There are some things in life that cannot be microwaved. There's some relationships in life that cannot just be ordered overnight. They come about through a long obedience in the same direction. How about your forgiving style? Are you compassionate? Merciful? Forbearing? Do you have a long nose? Forgiving? I have on a wedding ring. And for those of you who are married, you have an opportunity to show mercy and grace and compassion and a long nose every single day. You do. If you don't do that, here's what's going to happen. You're going to start keeping score. And no one wins in a marriage when you're keeping score. Nobody. And when you're determined, I'm going to be the winner and you'll be the loser, nobody wins in a relationship like that. You say, well, Ronnie, I think I'm doing pretty well at being compassionate and merciful and forbearing and forgiving. Well, you need to ask your spouse. You're not the one to ask because you're not really good at being a self-evaluator. I went to a Sunday school party recently. It was a trivia contest, and they did not allow the trivia teams to actually grade their own, you know, answer sheets. This is in a Sunday school class. And they're saying, we don't trust you to evaluate yourself. You're going to have someone else look at your answer sheet and verify that you're giving. How you doing? With godliness. So after Moses hears this from God, here's what he does in verse 8. Moses immediately threw himself to the ground and he worshiped. He worshiped. That's what he did. And we worship our great God by praising and singing and honoring. And we worship our great God by taking his nature, taking his personality, taking his business card and saying, God, I want to honor you and worship you by reflecting you in my home and my church and my community and beyond. All right. Number three. Who Yahweh God is can fill you with bold confidence. And my friend, I want you bold. I want you bold for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you confident in your standing before the Lord. You're not some distant relative somewhere. You are a son and a daughter of the King. And I want to read a passage to you from the New Testament, Hebrews 4. And even as I read this, you're going to be able to smell Mount Sinai. You're going to be able to hear the sounds of Mount Sinai. You're going to be able to hear God all over saying again, I'm a God of compassion and mercy and faithfulness and forbearance and forgiveness. That's who I am. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. And this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Now, here you go, verse 16. Get this. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. And some of you will hear this and you'll go, boy, I sure wish I could. I'd love to come boldly to the throne of God, but I don't think I'm worthy to do that. And quite honestly, on your own, you're not worthy. But Jesus Christ is worthy to be your Savior. And Jesus Christ has made you worthy to come before the throne of our gracious God. And listen, and there we will receive, not there we hope to receive, there we will receive his mercy, because he's a God of compassion and mercy. And we will find grace to help us when we need it most. But here's the thing, when we need it most is when we most feel most hesitant to come to our great God. You lift your head. Don't you let the evil one do a number on your soul and your psyche. Don't you let that misstep of last week keep you down in the penalty box. Don't you let that misstep from a year ago or 5 years ago or 20 years ago keep you down in the penalty box and keep you from worshiping and serving our great God and King. He loves you. He knows you. He has a place for you. He's got something for you to do in the work of God. You be done with that kind of blockade, because you can let the truth of the blood of Jesus Christ, which is fully capable of forgiving us to the uttermost, you let the truth about God's compassion and mercy set you free and give you a new beginning. We were singing earlier, this is our God. This is who he is. Do you know who he is? Compassionate and merciful. Faithful. Forbearing, a really long nose. Forgiving sin, iniquity, and rebellion. He's not a marshmallow. And he will protect you from evil.